Hello and welcome to Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. It is such a delight to have you join us and to learn with us things that can help us shape our lives to live for the glory of God, to see Him as real and relevant and actually align our lives with Him. I see this as more and more important as I age, to see Him so clearly that we live for His glory. I've been studying the book of Colossians. We're going to be preaching through that as a church. And just to see the importance of responding to the things going on in the world, Paul is writing this book from prison to respond to what's going on in Colossae. And his response isn't to address the problem specifically, but rather to take what is being struggled with and to drive it to the supremacy of Jesus, the glory of the gospel, the goodness of being word-saturated and totally loyal to God and community. And I'm just learning from that, that as we deal with issues that are going on in our culture, and we should be those who are aware of what's happening, that the best way to deal with those things is biblically. The best way to deal with those things is to drive them to Jesus. And we want to give you that opportunity at the end of this podcast to think through things you would love for us to address, whether they're cultural or biblical or questions that you have, alignment with culture, alignment with Christ. And we would love to take those, and you can send those to info@cloverdalebaptist.ca. But before we give you that opportunity, we want to talk about maximizing the resurrection. And I suppose that's a difficult thing to even align ourselves with, but we will celebrate very soon, April 9th, Resurrection Sunday, one of the most important events on the calendar, the church calendar, but also in the culture as they celebrate Easter with Easter bunnies and all the things that they do, and Good Friday and Easter Monday and holidays and family time and food and all of those things. How do we as Christians maximize this precious holiday? And I want to walk through three ways that we can maximize it. I hope that you will understand and respond to so that we more and more grow in our love for God and alignment with the mission He has given us in the world. How do we maximize the resurrection season? And I know every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, and every time we gather, we should be gospel-oriented and delighting in the richness of what has happened for us, that we as sinners found forgiveness in Christ and reconciliation to the holy God of the Bible. And in the resurrection of Jesus, we see the victory over sin and death and our own resurrection guaranteed in that. And so we live our lives for Him. That should happen every day. We should preach the gospel to ourselves every day. But there is, in the Christian calendar, a focus on the resurrection on April 9th this year. And so how do we maximize that? And again, the first thing I would say is, use it to realign your gospel orientation, to take the time to recalibrate, if you want to use that term, to look at your own life and say, how often am I thinking about this? How am I living in light of this? How am I finding in the gospel story, the resurrection of Jesus, hope and forgiveness and passion and purity and unity with other believers? How am I actually living in light of its reality? Let me just give you some examples. If you are like me and you struggle with a very soft conscience, and you're dealing with sin in your own life, and you're constantly beating yourself up, I'm not saying you shouldn't use the light of the Bible to shine on the grossness of sin in your life, but I am saying you should do so as one who is forgiven, as one who, Romans 8 verse 1, has no condemnation because we are in Christ, or 2 Corinthians 5:21, the glory of forgiveness, in Him I become the righteousness of God because He became sin for me. Listen, we need to constantly have a gospel orientation to feel and experience freedom and love and joy and not that overwhelming sense of condemnation. Or let's say that you're coasting a little in your Christian life. I struggle with this sometimes as well. You're watching more Netflix maybe than you are spending time in the Bible. You're spending more time watching sports or caring about the Canucks and their pursuit of a Bedard draft pick than you are about Jesus and your neighbor's relationship with Him. The Bible says that that passion comes from experiencing the love of God. If you want to use 2 Corinthians 5:14 language, the love of Christ compels me. So use this as an opportunity. Just go back to the reality of what the gospel is, the resurrection of Jesus, what Jesus has done for you. Bask in His love and see the beauty of your salvation as something that will bake into you a life that is lived with passion and purity and in the joy of forgiveness for the glory of God. Gospel orientation is so important, and we do need these realignment times. That's why we celebrate communion, but I think also I would say, in terms of the church calendar, It's the most important part of Resurrection Sunday that we become those who live relationally with Jesus, that are gospel-oriented all of the time, that not only preach the gospel to ourselves every day, but use a recalibrating season of Easter, if you want to use the secular term, to align ourselves with the reality of the gospel and to live in light of it all of the time. Secondly, we need to do this in community. The Bible has called us to live together as a church. I was visiting with a friend of mine yesterday, a prolific author, someone who I deeply respect in terms of his wisdom for the greater church culture, but even more importantly for the glory of God and his pursuit of that. He's a Puritan expert. And one of the things he said to me is we need to re-understand, or maybe understand for the first time in this generation, the importance of the local church, the importance of ecclesiology. We need to be those who value gathering together in community. Yes, to grow ourselves, and that's obviously important. We need one another. We need the encouragement of others, but also to be a servant of those who gather as well, to encourage them, to bless them, to constantly reverberate the greatness of God and the glory of the gospel. And so in the resurrection season, may I encourage you to not only come as a priority with your family, but come looking for those to encourage that are also part of the body of Christ. Come on Good Friday and grieve with us and worship with us and rejoice with us at the richness of Jesus' sacrifice, and use this opportunity to love one another. You could really say that this resurrection season could be an opportunity for us to obey the great command to love God with all that we are and all that we have, every part, every fiber of our being, and to love one another. And if we do those two things, and if we recalibrate to do those two things, then the Easter season, the resurrection season, will be one that is well worth our time and energy to put into. So first, make sure to check your own gospel orientation and to reinvigorate a passion to be one who lives in light of the reality of the gospel. Second, to do that in community, to love one another, to truly live self-sacrificially and encouraging to those whom God has placed in your family of faith. Thirdly, what an opportunity for us to live on mission. I mean this to share the gospel with our community. I think that the world still has a sense of not just Easter bunnies and chocolate, but also that there's something religious about this celebration, about this holiday. And I know for me personally, more than ever before in my life, I suppose when we were pastoring Houston, maybe the culture there was different enough. But more than ever before in Cloverdale, when I'm inviting people into our church family, I'm getting a much different response than I did 2 or 3 years ago. And people are responding and people are coming and people are encouraged and engaged. And I'm talking about people that have a non-church background or a very liberal church background, or perhaps even have left the church for a significant period of time. So may I encourage you, use the resurrection season not only as an opportunity to accomplish the great command and to love God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength and to love your neighbors yourself, but also to be a part of us accomplishing the great commission of reaching out. Now, how do you do that? You say, well, I'll give you an example. I got my hair cut yesterday, and I know I don't have a lot of hair to cut, but still I go to a haircutter. And as I was there, we just started talking about what I did and how I could come there at a lunchtime and the different things we conversed about. But eventually she found out I was a pastor and I invited her to church, and she responded that she probably would. And I said, I'll, you know, make sure you grab me and I'll introduce you to some other people. And it was just an opportunity for me to share with her the hope that can be found in Jesus. Now, I didn't present the full gospel. I touched on a little pieces of it, but certainly invited her into our community of faith where she could hear that and experience the love of God's people. So see Resurrection Week as an opportunity for you to share with others. And then when you come, not only that reverberation of love for one another, encouragement of love for one another, celebration of the greatness of what Jesus has done for us as fellow believers, but also an opportunity to look for people you don't recognize and to offer them the love of Jesus so that we as a congregation corporately reach out. Listen, if you invite someone graciously and they choose not to come, don't see that as a failure. See that as an opportunity to look for somebody on that Sunday morning where we're celebrating the resurrection and see them as new and different and look for that as an opportunity to be a part of God's plan for their life and to love them. We want to be a people who are driven and defined by our relationship with Jesus. We realize we're not. I see that more and more, and I long for it more and more. And in fact, I was talking to somebody about the percentage of Christians in Canada. Again, someone who is way beyond my pay grade in terms of their brilliance and understanding and engagement with the culture. And he says, you know, I think we're down to 1 or 2%. And then he said, and in those that are going to churches, even that is, we're struggling. We're becoming more cultural, whether that's religious right or compromised left, than we are passionate about our love for Jesus. We're becoming more caught up in wars and rumors of wars or earthquakes or all of those things than we are about reaching people for the gospel or about love that truly satisfies the justice issues. And I think he's right. And I don't think the answer is for us to complain about it. I think the answer is for us to become Christ-centered about it. We started that with, I just mentioned Colossians. I'm just loving the book of Colossians. I've never been a primary fan of Colossians. I love Ephesians. I love Romans. I love Isaiah. I love Revelation. Now we're studying it. But I'll tell you, as we're memorizing Colossians 3 as a congregation, and as we're getting ready, or at least I'm getting ready to study the book, I am just seeing in it so much that is rich and transformative. I actually think it could change the history of the world if we understood it. And I just love the book. But again, one of the things that's really standing out to me as I'm doing my preliminary studying is they're addressing specific issues. And Paul wants the church, Epaphroditus, to probably come back to him and said, hey, there's these problems in the church. Paul's in jail and he's writing from jail and he's caring about these people that he's never even met. But he doesn't address the issues in specific ways. And what I mean by that is he doesn't name them. Oh, some say it's Gnosticism, some trail down other early church things, but he doesn't address them. Rather, he says, look to Jesus. Oh, don't get caught up in feasts or those sort of things, religiosity. Don't get caught up in liberalism where you're not letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly, but get caught up in Christ. And I think the answer always is, and I invite you to ask questions about the culture, questions about your Christianity, those sort of things, and email them to info@cloverdalebaptist.ca so that we can get those and align as much as we can to use this podcast to impact you in our disciple-making passion to conform you to the image of Jesus. But I hope you will find that we always point back to Christ. We always point back to the things that really matter so that in any situation we're in, we're living relationally, driven and defined by that relationship, knowing that God is real, God is relevant, and in the fullness of the Spirit, pursuing holiness and self-sacrificial love. So this resurrection season, as you start to get ready, as you start to pray for who God wants you to invite and engage and be friends with for the purpose of loving them and gospel ministry, let it be a recalibration for gospel orientation, for living loyal to the community of Christ in the local church, and for choosing to use the opportunities that God gives you in your community to live on mission for Him. And may you feel, experience His love so deeply that at the end of this season, you'll look back on it and say, I'm marked, I'm Spirit-filled, I belong to Him and my life is His, and then to use all that you are and all that you have to worship Him, to display the beauty of His holiness, to glorify His name, and to live as if God is real and relevant, because He is. I love Resurrection Sunday, and I hope and pray with you that this resurrection season will be one where you're drawn closer to Him, experience His love more deeply, and live more passionately on mission to the praise of His glorious grace.